Mother's Day. That one's been brought to today. And we're going to read from John 19 on your welcome sheets, and it brings these verses into context. So we'll start by reading from verse 17 of John 19. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called the place of a skull. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to..." "He said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "No, what I've written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his own home. So it's just the end of that passage that we're going to be focusing on this morning. And for your help and mine, we're going to look at three loves at the cross this morning. There's an old spiritual that says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Well, of course, we weren't there. But there were people who were at the cross. To the best of our knowledge, they saw all of the crucifixion. They saw the cruelty. They saw the pain. There were at least four women and one man, John. And I want to focus on two of them this morning, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John. That's not to minimize the love of the other women that were there, because I'm sure that what we say about the other two is equally true of those other ladies as well. And the first love I want us to look at is rewarded love, the love that was shown to Mary. I want to start off here because Jesus saw her there, we read in verse 26, standing beside the disciple that he loved. And we see that same phrase repeated in verse 25, standing near to the cross. There are several things that I want to draw out from that phrase, standing near to the cross. It took tremendous courage for Mary to be there. By this time she would be around 50 years old, which in those days would be old. So those of you who are over 50, thank God for your age now and the way that life has progressed. Still many people in the world, 50 is still old. Crucifixion was a long, drawn-out affair. And even for Jesus, it would be several hours. And she would have been there before the sun was darkened. She would have been there in the heat of the day. There were no seats to sit down on. And we can only imagine how she felt physically emotionally, spiritually. Her grief would be unbearable. Added to this, it was a dangerous to be there standing near to the cross and to be associated with Jesus. The authorities, both Jewish and Romans, were hostile to Jesus, so we can assume that they would have been hostile towards anyone else who was associated with him. She was ready to take a risk, to be there with him. There was a very real price for her to pay, standing near to the cross. But she was willing to pay that, if necessary. Why did she do it? Why was she standing there? Well, it was because she loved the person who was on the cross. She loved Jesus. These people were drawn by his love for them, and they were reciprocating that love here now. And it was much, much more than duty to be there. The Roman soldiers were on duty. They'd got to put Jesus to death. But these women didn't have to be there. It was their love that bound them to him. And it was real, and it was genuine, and it stood the greatest of tests here at this particular moment. They wanted to be there. They wanted to identify with Jesus. Now, Mary, of course, naturally loved Jesus because she was his mother. For over 30 years, she'd kept those words that were prophesied at his baptism by Simeon, that he was a man who was sent as a sign from God, but many would oppose him, and a sword will pierce her very soul. And now, as she looked at the cross, those words which must have crossed her mind many, many times during the past years would have surely come home to her at that moment. Was this what it was all about? After his miraculous birth, after his wonderful teaching, after all the miracles that he'd performed, after all those thousands of people following him, here he is now, abandoned, crucified. So there she was, standing at the cross, broken-hearted, as she was watching his agonies. And it was natural that she would want to be near to him in his dying moments. I don't think that she would have left, as some think, when John took her from that moment. Did he take her away from the cross? I don't think so. I think she would have wanted to stay there right to the end. She wanted to show how much she loved Jesus. And she felt that she couldn't abandon him. She wanted to demonstrate her love for him and her faithfulness to him to the very end. With the others, she was also expressing her faith in him, that he was the Messiah that he'd spoken about, that he was the Son of God. And she was also expressing her thanks to him for those 30 years that she had the privilege of knowing him. Now, I've sought to emphasize all this because of the next phrase. Jesus saw her standing there. Jesus saw all these things that were going on in her heart and in her mind. The physical discomfort, the courage, her faith, her faithfulness, her thanks, and of course, her identification with Jesus and his obedience to the fifth commandment, to honour his mother, which he's now doing. But he saw much, much, much more than that. None of these things went without his notice. But he was going to reward her for all of this. And so he says, "Woman, here is your son." He was rewarding Mary for all these things that she had been to him over the past 30 years. And we'll come back to that in a moment. The second love that I want us to notice is the responsibility of love, which was for John. Jesus said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, he took her into his own home. It's wonderful that John should be counted worthy and trusted by Jesus to act in this way. It was a responsibility that John gladly took on. John, we're told, was the disciple of love. He loved Jesus. They'd spent many hours, many days together over the past 3 years. And probably Mary was with them as well, having been widowed some time earlier. And John loved Mary. Yes, we could say he'd got a leaning for love. He had a disposition to love. That he was that way inclined. But I believe it was much, much more than that. I believe that there was a love put in John's heart that was put there by Jesus, that was put there by the Spirit of God. So why was John chosen for this responsibility? Well, he was the only man that was there at the time. All the others had forsaken Jesus and fled, thinking of their own safety, thinking of themselves first. But John had hung around to see what was going to happen to Jesus. He was ready. He was on hand. And he was ready to be Jesus' servant. And for him, this was an honor to be trusted with the care of his best friend's mother. And so he gladly and willingly responds to the responsibility that's thrust upon him. From then on, the disciple took her into his own home. As I said, I'm inclined to think that it was after the crucifixion that John did this. And wherever he went, Mary went. No doubt, for that to be fulfilled, there were sacrifices that he would have had to make to carry out his master's wishes. But he would have gladly made them. And he continued to demonstrate his love for Jesus as he cared for Mary. There was no old age pension in those days. There was no widow's pension. So John would protect her. John would provide for her and take full responsibility for Mary. He understood perfectly what Jesus was saying, and he acted on it immediately. It would be pure speculation, I think, debate and discussion as to whether Jesus and John had ever talked about this before. But now, when the challenge was presented to him, he saw that this was the wisest possible arrangement for Mary's welfare for the future. It was the best move, and he would seek to love her as Jesus had loved her. John accepted the responsibility because of his love for Jesus and his love for Mary. So that's two loves, a rewarded love and a responsibility of love. But the third one, and the greatest love, is the radical love of the Lord Jesus himself. Out of all the loves that were being expressed at that particular moment, both to Jesus and from Jesus and from John, the love of Jesus was the greatest. The tenderness that was in his heart, the self-forgetfulness And the supreme care that he shows is truly amazing. This was far more than mere duty. Yes, there was agape love, God's love, as Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. But there was also philos, brotherly love, being expressed in his dying wishes for his mother. This is the greatest and most wonderful demonstration of both of those loves. And they were expressed in a very tangible way. This is the greatest and most wonderful moment because Jesus was bearing the sins of the world in his body on the tree. But as he saw his mother and all that she was passing through, his thoughts went out immediately to her as well. He saw the crushing effects of those events that had led up to the crucifixion, and all that she was feeling at that particular moment as well. But not only that, but how she would be feeling in the coming days as she contemplated life without him. She would be devastated, and he knew exactly how she was feeling. Her thoughts of loneliness. He was the eldest son, and he would be aware of his responsibilities towards her and his duty. And amazingly, he was thinking of her sorrows more than his own. Here he was facing all the agonies of the cross and paying the price of the world's redemption with his life literally hanging in the balance, and his thoughts were for others. William Barclay says that this is very, very moving. And it is. I can't do justice to the love that Jesus was feeling towards his mother while he was going through all these agonies in his own spirit and soul and physically. The physical pain was excruciating and enduring. And within hours, he would be dead. Did he express concern about his own situation? Yes, to a certain extent he did, because you were thinking about that last week, Russell was leading you, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But even at that particular moment, as he was crying out to God, he was concerned for others, and especially his mother and John. He wanted to ensure that they were going to be okay. We can't possibly measure the extent of the love that was in his heart at that particular moment. Love for individuals like Mary and John. Love for his father as he was being obedient to his will. And love for the world, for you and for me. All this at the time that he was being crucified. For the past 30 years, he had lived with Mary. And he wanted her now to be cared for in her old age. He wanted her to be cared for by John, as she had cared for him. In the midst of that awful agony, with his life ebbing away, he paid the price for my redemption and yours, which of course was the big picture. Well, that's why he was there. That was what was taking place. And yet at the same time, in his heart was this love and compassion for his own. He saw this little insignificant group of people standing near to the cross. But they weren't insignificant to him. He knew their hearts. He knew their minds. He knew their spirits. He saw their grief. He saw the desolation. He saw the sacrifices that they had made and the services that they'd rendered to him. And his heart was overflowing to them. What a saviour. What tenderness. What thoughtfulness. What sympathy. What concern for other people. As the old hymn says, it passes knowledge, that dear love of thine. So what do we make of those three loves this morning for us here in 2017? Well, let's go back to the rewarded love for Mary. Jesus didn't forget Mary's love and service, and he won't forget yours, and he won't forget mine. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. She knew who he was and stood by him as the promised Messiah. And maybe some here have been standing up for Jesus, and you wonder, is it worthwhile? The sacrifices I'm making, the price I'm paying, the awful situation that you find yourself in because you identify with Jesus from time to time. Some are suffering today, physically, because of their love for Jesus. Is it worthwhile? Will it be remembered? Yes, it will. Your love and your devotion will not be forgotten by the Lord. He will reward you for your love. Yes, Mary suffered for Christ, but it was remembered and it was rewarded. And yours will be as well. Peter writes, "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation." 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. All through her life, Mary felt the pain of identifying with Jesus. In infancy, she became a refugee. As a teenager, Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business," and went off to the temple. And now at the cross, the insults are being thrown. There's the rejection, the humiliation, the pain, the awful injustice, and so on. And she watched it all, and she felt it all. But Jesus was also watching her, and he assured her of his love. Maybe you're going through pain just now. Maybe it's a non-Christian partner. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Maybe you're the only Christian in the place where you're working. Maybe you're the only Christian in your street. And there are all sorts of things that you will face for identifying with Jesus. And as we look at this account, I'm reminded that Jesus identifies with your pain, with your suffering, and he wants to assure you of his love. He never forgets, and his love is such that he will reward you. You can never outdo the love of Jesus. He will always reward those who have suffered for him. Again, to quote an old hymn, "There is no love like the love of Jesus, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth for thee." What about the responsibility of love that John faced and experienced? Well, just as John had a responsibility to care for his mother, so we have a responsibility to care. We're not to do it as a duty. but to demonstrate our love for the Lord. Some may be in a situation of caring for elderly relatives. Some are caring for friends, caring for neighbors. And it's going on. And maybe you're getting tired. Maybe you get weary. But as a Christian, you have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And you're called to serve the King of Kings. The Lord has put his Spirit within you, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. The same John writes these words: anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And as Christians, we've got the love of God within us, and it's our responsibility to show that love wherever we go. And so on this Mother's Day, we have that obvious responsibility of children towards parents. And we're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus himself as he thought and cared for Mary. But on a wider scale, what are we like when it comes to caring for others? Are we prepared to make sacrifices for them? Who comes first when the chips are down? Do we resort to our pre-Christian selfish character, concentrate on ourselves first? This, if you like, is the acid test of faith. We know what we should be like, and that's fine when we're not facing stress and strain of actually doing it. But are we showing responsible love if we're prepared to abandon people or leave them in the lurch or let them down in their moment of need? I loved being a carer for 12 and a half years working in a Christian home, but I was paid for it. I'd like to think that I'd still love even if I wasn't being paid for it. I've never really felt comfortable with the reaction of some Christians towards the social gospel and saying, well, that's the state's responsibility to take care of people. Our job is to preach the gospel. As I look at Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, I'm convinced that we also have a responsibility to be loving carers as we follow his example. George Beverly Shea, the great singer in the Billy Graham Crusades, supported Billy Graham so much, and one of the songs that impressed me so much was "Be Like Jesus." This my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. But what about that third love? The radical love of Jesus. That's the main lesson in this passage, I think. Seeing him suffer as he saw Mary suffering. And his wonderful love and care for his own. Peter writes, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." That's the supreme message, I think, that I want to bring to you this morning, for you to take away. There's no disappointment here at this particular moment. What we see is limitless love and compassion. From time to time, we all see situations where we think, oh, isn't that love shallow? How can people be like that? Why don't they demonstrate care and love? That could never ever be said of Jesus. We must never forget his boundless love, no matter what we're called to face. He never forgets those who love him. After all, he loved us when we were in the very worst of conditions, far away from him. And let's go back to that little phrase, standing near to the cross. Just as these friends stood near to the cross, let's seek to do the same today. Of course, we literally can't do it. That was a once and for all time. But spiritually, we can. Standing near to the cross speaks of a relationship with Jesus. It means a willingness to identify with him no matter what. So the writer of Hebrews says, so let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace that he bore. Fanny Crosby wrote another hymn and she said, Jesus, keep me near the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. That desire to identify with Jesus and the cross is always a supreme challenge to me. Mary and her friends did that. Their love was rewarded. May we be the people who are devoted and dedicated to him for his wonderful love for us. And I know that he's longing to demonstrate his love for us too, just as he did for Mary and for John. May the Lord bless his word to us. I just want